Welcome to HPC News Bytes, a weekly show about important news in the world of supercomputing, AI, and other advanced technologies.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to HPC News Bytes. I'm Doug Black. Hi, Shaheen. We begin today with a report from the Wall Street Journal about the challenges of deploying AI technology. It has now gone past GPU availability to the shortage of data center capacity and the power requirements to run and cool them. The article has a nice way of describing shortages for what it calls exploding demand for AI infrastructure, parts, property, and power. I recall an episode last year when we talked about modular nuclear reactors as a way to power future data centers. It was based on a comment from Lisa Su of AMD. It looks like the market might welcome such a solution. By the way, you pointed out a website called GPUList.ai that shows GPU availability according to type of GPU, duration, interconnect, and location. It's almost like an Airbnb of GPUs. Also, it needs to be said that the money being bandied about for new AI infrastructure, $40 billion from Meta, $11 billion for a Microsoft data center in Indiana, a mere $1 billion for Tesla's expanding AI capabilities, keeping in mind that the world's number one supercomputer costs $600 million. We're seeing the biggest tech companies spending at a scale that dwarfs even the U.S. government.
Data centers used to be described in square feet. Nowadays, it's about megawatts. So when a rack can use over 100 kilowatts and you need 20,000 or 40,000 GPUs for AI workloads, it's not hard to get there. And when AI and GPUs are described as critical to national security, then you need a few data centers per country at least. So infratech, as some call it, is emerging as the next obstacle and market opportunity. Locations that have the advantages are the ones with a colder climate and low-cost power, like geothermal or hydropower. Then you need a building, ability to design and test full cluster configurations, and possibly to help finance it too. In addition, many data centers were designed for a lot less power density than AI requires, say 10, 20, or 40 kilowatts per rack, versus the 100 or 120 kilowatts per rack that we can see in high-end systems for AI. All that said, there have been a few articles that take the opposite side, talking about an AI winter or an AI bubble that will burst in the near term, causing a glut of GPUs and a painful setback up and down the value chain. This would be caused by insufficient market traction by too many AI software companies who've been around a couple of years and would have impatient investors. But it'd be a market correction, not a slowdown of the bigger AI trend.
It's quite a contrast, and it does feel as though a glut of AI chips, or at least a glut of vendors trying to cash in on AI, could be in the offing. As someone put it, would a .AI bust be like the .com bust of the late 1990s? On the one hand, AI companies command multi-billion dollar valuations with little to no revenue and sometimes even without much of a product. And on the other hand, all that exuberance needs to cope with the realities of the market. However, no one seems to doubt the long-term growth of AI, again, similar to the .com era of the internet. Trade wars and geopolitics is a recurring theme for us, and there was news that institutions in China have acquired recently banned NVIDIA AI chips in Supermicro and Dell systems. There are, after all, many roads to so great a market, wouldn't you say?
Yes. You know, while it is difficult to secure a long supply chain when systems may change hands several times, securing the chain of custody is a big deal. Vendors have strict and laborious processes to validate their customers, who in turn commit to restrictions about governing those systems. But chain of custody is also chain of trust, and there could be cracks. The article I read was actually pretty inconclusive in its reporting. It wasn't clear that it actually was a breach, for example, because the systems in question were acquired before the bans went into effect. Back in December, we talked about neuromorphic chips for AI, modeled to a degree on the human brain and its low energy use, and emulating large networks of biological neurons and their synaptic operations. Neuromorphic chips are on the order of 20 to 30 watts, let's say, as compared to 500 watts or 1 kilowatt or more for GPUs. We also covered Deep South, a neuromorphic supercomputer in Australia that was to go live right around now and seemed to use FPGAs. Several other projects have also been announced, like IBM's True North, a startup called Rain, and BrainChip, also in Australia, that announced in February that they are accepting pre-orders for their system called Akida and presented as an edge AI box. Finally, Intel Labs has a project called Loihi.
Well, there is news from Intel Labs and Sandia National Lab that they are using the next rev of that chip, Loihi 2, in a neuromorphic supercomputer called Hala Point. Neuromorphic chips typically perform synaptic operations, so the metrics are not the same as GPUs. The Hala Point system is said to be able to perform 20 petaops, as well as the equivalent to 15 trillion 8-bit operations per second per watt. This is a very respectable showing in terms of both performance and power efficiency compared to GPUs and CPUs. All right, that's it for this episode. Thanks so much for being with us.
HPC News Bites is a production of Orion X in association with Inside HPC. Shaheen Khan and Doug Black host the show. Every episode is featured on InsideHPC.com and posted on OrionX.net. Thank you for listening.